So this is the showcase for Sprint 122, which is also the last sprint that we have for the 3.6 release, which is also the last release for the GAP project. So a lot of things finishing up here today. I'm going to share my screen. Someone can just let me know when that comes through.
I can see.
Great. Thanks, Sebastian. So we'll start off like we normally do today, with just the overviews of the sprint, and then I'll highlight a couple of things that we'll do differently in a moment. So we'll start off with Team Ona. Team Ona has finished, as of right now, six story points across three different tickets. They have another seven story points and three tickets that are in various states of almost being done. So hopefully those will be finished up by the end of the day. Moving on to JSI. JSI got through 10 story points, two tickets, but there's a number of tickets that I know are in QA for them. So that total is likely to go up. So hopefully by the end of today, those will be finished. Mind the Gap. I haven't been listening to what people have been doing, so I'll just start here. Mind the Gap has been working on finalizing the subscription management for the notifications, creating automated tests for the multiple suppliers. They did some preliminary work helping out Team Ona for the reporting demo data, and then they were finishing the localization epic. They got through 32 story points across, looks like about 10 tickets. And Team Parrot, they were fixing all of the performance tests which had errors, and then adding two more functional tests, and the spirit animal this sprint was a hamster. Still, I'm looking forward to hearing the story behind this. They got through 25 story points across, looks like about 12 tickets. I'm just guessing here. And we'll take a quick look here at Sonar and just refresh. We have a failure here in the stock management UI. Does anybody know about that?
So this could be related to the kit unpack.
Okay, is it something that your team knows about and will be looking into?
This is the first time I'm taking a look, and we had to work, late, like last night. So we'll find out what happened this morning.
Okay, thanks, Ashraf.
Sure.
Continuing down, let's do a quick scroll. I don't think there's any others. They're just these branch ones that we know about. Okay, yeah. Thank you, Ashraf, for giving info on that. The other thing I wanted to highlight was this version view. I know that Sam had shown this in a previous showcase, but now that we're pretty much here at the end of the release, you can see in this release, we got through 210 issues, plus we have another 36 that are in progress. So we did a lot of work in this release. This is a really cool view to be able to kind of get just a quick glance of kind of the volume of work that we did. So I just wanted to highlight that. All right, I'm going now to hand it over to Team Ona, but before I do, I just want to mention how today's showcase will be slightly different in that instead of just highlighting the work that we did during the last 2 weeks sprint, each team is going to share some of the features that they worked on for 3.6. So it'll be a little bit of a higher level view of what each team accomplished and was working on for version 3.6. All right, so I'm going to hand it over to Clay now to get started.
Thanks, Wes. Hi, everyone. What Team Ona worked on as a part of the 3.6 release, first and foremost was sending data from the requisitions and reference data microservices into the Fire server, which Jeanette will be talking more about later. Additionally, we improved documentation and functionality around persisting the reporting stack. So things like auto-loading flows into NiFi, auto-starting NiFi, loading schemas into Postgres, loading dashboards into Superset, so that when the reporting stack is deployed, all of the content that we built as part of 3.5, and then again here in the 3.6 release, is automatically loaded into the stack. And you know, we raised documentation around what's been built over the past couple of releases, and documentation around deploying the reporting stack. With that, I'll hand it over to Jeanette to speak more about the Fire integration that we worked on, which was the primary deliverable that we were working on as part of this release.
I don't see her on the call unless she's, you know, with you.
Let me ping them. No, she's not with me. I assume they would be on the call. Let me ping them.
Yeah, I'd be happy to step in. So the primary 3.6 activity was to work on the DHIS2 integration, and we settled. We did a lot of scoping and settled on the infrastructure where OpenLMIS makes reports available in a standard format using the Fire measure and measure report specification that is kind of a budding specification in the health space. And so OpenLMIS, when we began this feature set, OpenLMIS already had the Happy Fire server embedded within it, serving locations. And what we did was we worked to add and expose the ability to have measures and measure reports available through the web API. And we defined an internal process for routing new requisitions that have been approved to become measure reports in that Happy Fire server. So the Happy Fire, every time a requisition is approved, the reporting portion of that requisition, which is dynamic based on the templates per country implementation, that gets forwarded to NiFi, and then NiFi puts that information into the Happy Fire server so that the measure reports can be queried by any third-party system, converted to whatever format that they need, and then uploaded to that DHIS2 or health information system that is kind of at a higher level owned by a third party. Clay?
Yeah. Thanks, Craig. I've pinged the team. I think they're in the process of joining the call. Maybe in the interest of time, I guess if folks have questions, I think maybe now you can ask. Otherwise, when Jeanette joins, she might she'll be able to send something. I'm not in the office right now, so.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you were saying there at the end.
I apologize. I'm for the logistical issues. I'm not in the office myself, so I don't know exactly what's happening at Ono right now. I think when Jeanette joins, she can show us something. Otherwise, you know, another team can go ahead while we're waiting.
All right. I think Jeanette may have just jumped in.
Yeah. Hi, Jeanette.
Are you there, Jeanette? I can hear you.
Yes, can you hear me?
Now I can, yes.
Yeah, so you just sort of summarized what we've worked on as a part of this release. Craig spoke a bit high level about what we did specifically around Fire. And now if you have anything that you could show around the Fire integration.
Okay, I'm just gonna share my screen. Can you see it?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so this is the flow that is showing the generation of measure reports, whereby, first of all, we are getting the locations from the fire server, which we're going to put into the measure reports. And then we get all the measures from the fire server, which we have initially in a different flow generated and sent to the server. So we get the measures again from here. And then we use the access token gotten from OpenLMS, which is what you're going to use to post the measure reports from the reference data to the fire server. So once you've gotten the access token, we use it to get the requisitions from the API in this processor. We get all of them, we split them, and then we deal with one at a time. So here we filter out to get just the approved and the released. Everything else is discarded. So the ones that are approved and released is what proceeds. Here we get the attributes, then we get the location ID, and then using this ID, we map it to the locations that we got from the fire server up here. So we populate that data in there. Then we get the requisition line items, we split those. And then inside this processor, we combine now all the data to generate the 7 different reports based on the 7 different measures that we have. And then they are all in the end over here. So from each requisition, you end up having 7 different measure reports. And that is what that flow does. And this is then posted to the fire server. Yes. Any questions?
Could you cover what the 7 measures are?
Yeah, they are in the documentation that Craig wrote, but I can check the names also in here. So this is just one of them. So if you open, like one of them is the beginning balance. The other one is the measure total received quantity. Another one is the measure total consumed quantity. So each one has a name, which is just like at the top of. So like this one is measure total stockout days. And then the document also shows how all these values are calculated. Like for example, this last one, the measure stock status is based on like the stockout days and different values that are calculated to get to it. But yeah, so those are all of them.
Yeah, and so all these are actually what are configured in the requisition template. And so if we were to add a column, for example, then all we would have to do is copy one of those vertical rows, create a measure, and then basically configure the system to be able to import those from the requisition template that's submitted.
Yes, thank you.
Jeanette, when you mentioned that it gets pushed to the server, which server were you referring to there?
Sorry?
At the end of the process, you said it gets pushed to a server. Can you just describe what happens when it gets to that? How does that work?
So we just post the JSON for each measure report to the measure report endpoint in the fire server. And then from there, you can just access it from there.
Okay.
And when you access it, did we get to the point where we can access it by a service token? Or I'm sorry, service account?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
When you issue an API request to that Fire server, is it using a service account?
Yes.
Okay.
Great, thank you very much. Clay, was there anything else that your team wanted to demo in terms of the work that was done in 3.6? Clay or Greg?
No, that was everything.
All right, were there any questions or any other questions for Clay, Craig, or Jeanette?
Yeah, so this is Ashraf. Just a general question, and I know that it was not within the scope of work for the whole team, but just for a theoretical understanding, so when these measures are posted to the Fire server, and as Josh indicated that there is API endpoint APIs to retrieve the data from there, but as a proof of concept, was any such attempts were made or some research were done that if DHIS2 or another analytics platform wanted to query those measures from the Fire, that existing APIs or the mechanism exist within the Fire server to query those data and process those data? Is there anything that you can add for our general understanding about it?
Yeah, so there's, so the answer is yes. The Happy Fire server comes with a robust API that's very well documented for measures and measure reports. We use the normative standard that was released. The Happy Fire server adopted that standard in mid-February that has the latest version of the Fire APIs. So all that is available in the full API. The ability to search for measures and measure reports are exposed exactly as they are in the Happy Fire server. The a third-party integration will require a pool-based architecture where either a middle layer or the consumer will query for the list of measures that are available. They will adjust those measures and update their system to make sure that there's alignment with the measures that they are collecting. And then on a regular schedule, be it nightly or monthly, we assume that third-party system will query the OpenLMIS for the location hierarchy, and then by each location, iterate through and get the measure reports that are associated for each of those locations. Do some transform if it is needed, and then post those into their client system.
Thank you, Craig. That's very helpful.
And if I remember correctly, we've documented that process and kind of the assumptions and expectations in the DHIS2 server specification.
Okay, good to know. Thanks.
Any other questions? Okay, if not, I'm going to hand it over to Ashraf for the JSI team.
Okay, so let me share my screen. Let me know if you can see my screen.
I can see your very wide screen, yes.
Right.
I'm very jealous of your very wide screen.
Right. So we're on the sprint 1-2-2, and as Wes mentioned, that a great deal of our ticket is really going through the review and the QA process. And I'm hopeful that by the end of the day today, that we would be able to add additional tickets, at least from the QA side, to the down category. And for the review, which is the peer programmer review, that might spill into additional days because other people have to have the time, mostly from folks like Chungsen or the developer from the Sol de Valo, they provide those kind of peer reviews. So that might, you know, spills over additional days. But anyway, that we will continue to follow through everything here. And then we'll make sure that by the time the, you know, the kind of QA phase starts, you know, next phase, so that we are actively kind of triaging and like managing things so that we complete the QA for those and then they're in the done category so that the, without causing too much disruption to the regression and the general testing process. So as was previously agreed on that in this showcase that the team lead would provide a general overview of the work that was done. So with that in mind, so I actually tried to get to the OpenLMIS both for test or the UAT, and I was getting some bad gateways. But fortunately, I worked with the team earlier, like last night, to capture the screenshots. And those were actually captured from the like UAT instance. As you can see here, the UAT.openlmi. So at the time it was working, but for some reason this morning it wasn't working. And also Wes pointed out there was a build failure there. So we'll have to investigate those. But anyway, for the purpose of the showcase presentation, so I am kind of resorting to my backup plan of going through the PowerPoints, you know, is a typical like demo scenario when you need it, things doesn't work. So I'm starting from very scratch from the early part of the kitting process. And a few of you probably have already seen this and heard me talk about it and our team talk about it. So bear with me if this is a bit like repetitive, but this is by design so that we can just present everything that was done for the kits, even though it was done earlier. So in the administration under products, which is orderables, you'd be coming and then reviewing the existing orderables there. And there could be a specific orderables of the kit type or a kit that you'd like to construct. And then, you know, with the built-in feature in the OpenLMIS, you can also filter it by the program. In this case, in our illustration, we were picking products, orderables for the family planning program. So we pick a particular product, and I'm gonna break my mouth to try to pronounce this, Thymolytica. So that's the product that we picked for illustration purposes. So you see a new button there that create kit unpack like list. So that's the new thing that would appear for under this orderable screen. So then you click on that. Then you are presented with a you know, kind of pop-up dialog box with the, you know, existing like UI style guide within the OpenLMIS. So you are able to browse through the product list. The fact that we picked the family planning, that's why you don't see that much product here, but it could be a long list of products there, as well as you can filter it by the name, or you can browse through the pagination there until you find what we call the constituent products, the products that you wanted to add to the kit. So the kit being the parent products and the individual orderables that you're adding to it is the constituent products. So that's how we were actually framing this discussion for the kits. So you pick the constituent products and then you click on the add product buttons. And you do have the option to browse through different pages if there are more than one pages to find your products, to find your constituent products to add to the kit. So once you added the products that need to go to the kit that you're constructing, so then that list comes here. And we also provide the regular feature that in case you made a mistake or you wanted to change your mind, you can remove that constituent products until you think that all the products that needs to go to that kit is there And you are now ready to, you know, say that, well, this is the new kit that I'm constructing. And as you can see that you can also adjust the quantities. For example, in the earlier example, at one point when Josh was talking about the safety kit, so say like you have gauges and like painkillers and so on, not everything in just one quantity. There could be like multiple quantities of those. So you'd be able to, you know, also put the required quantities there for the constituent products, and then you click on the save button. And of course, you can always cancel out if you change your mind that I don't want to create the kit, so you can always cancel out. And once you save that button, then it gives you a like message for you to confirm. I should have actually turned off my Skype. So then the system is telling you that that product has been successfully updated. In other words, the kit unpacked list has been created. Now you wanted to, now, you know, in this, in the example that I was giving, you know, consider yourself that you are now a facility. And the kit that earlier was constructed by, say, the admin person or the central medical store or the logistics management unit for the country or program, they added, they have constructed the kits that needs to be supplied or needs to be used in the distribution system for that particular program. And that administrator would have also added that new kit in the, what we call is the requisition screen on the OpenLMIS. So now I, the facility, would have placed the orders for that kit through the regular requisition form. I would have also provided the stock status for that kit using the requisition form. So those are all pre-existing feature. That's why in, for the illustrations, I have not included that, but just to, just for you to follow the workflow there. So the, you would have found the kit in the requisition, you would have reported your stock statuses for those kits along with the auto calculation, the kind of calculated order quantity that OpenLMIS already computes. Those, all of those features would really exist and will apply even for the kits. So here the assumption is that I, the facility, had received the previous requisition and order that has been confirmed for me and supplied to me. So now in the stock management, I wanted to receive that kit. So you'd be able to, again, use the regular workflow that already exists in the OpenLMIS to receive that kit. So when you receive that kit, you know, we also came to the receive workflow here, and then you are kind of receiving the kit that we illustrated earlier for which we have constructed the unpacked list. So this is the existing feature, in fact. So, and but what, all we did is retrofitted these new things within the existing workflows. So instead of creating something different or something new, we just retrofitted those things within the existing workflow. So you would be receiving that kit for your facility. So in other words, your stock on hand will now go up and your stock on hand would also show that you have the kits in your inventory now. So you see that this is the stock on hand screen there and the item that you constructed is there and its quantities are there. Then, you know, the way that OpenLMIS like manages the kind of stock card for the individual orderables, that it applies a concept of accounting there, so the debits and credits. So when we receive a thing and my stock on hand balances increases, that is debit, and when we kind of use that as the credit. So since to retrofit those things in the existing workflow, these are the new reason codes for adjustments, meaning that when you make any adjustment to your bean card, it's based on some adjustments. It, either you're receiving, you are issuing, you're transferring in or out. And since this is such a like an additional transaction type, so that's why these additional transactions were added, unpack the kit and unpack from the kit. So I think those kind of terminologies probably, in my opinion, can be improved. For example, unpack kit itself is a bit not very clear, at least to me, but those things can be changed. This is, you know, just with the existing feature in OpenLMIS, you'd be able to change those names. So like, again, this is, you know, kind of admin function. You would not be facing it in the day-to-day workflow. I'm sorry, I'm probably taking more than 15 minutes, so let me just quickly jump through. So the reasons, and within the existing OpenLMIS, you're also able to configure the reasons by the program it's going to support. So here we are saying that for this unpack kit, and we are configuring it for to support the family planning and the essential match programs. And you have to do it one time for both of those new reasons that have been added to the system. So this is a, like one-time admin function. Like earlier, we have seen that as the facility, I have received that kit. So now that kit is there, but say like imagine the kind of scenario that it was a community health workers kit. And now that we wanted to distribute that kits, and kit can be distributed to, you know, more than one community of health workers. So we need to break the kit and receive the constituent products within the inventory in my facility so that I have the option to use OpenLMIS for individual stock transactions for those unpacked kits. So for that, already in the OpenLMIS stock management feature exists, so we just retrofitted the unpack as a workflow there. And then in this new kind of UI for the unpack, so you would be searching for the kits. So here the business rule are applied is that only the kit type products would show up here, and only the item that has stock on hand balances is in positive. So that, you know, you have that item, that kit in stock and available to unpack, so that you are saying that out of the 100 we have seen before, I'm unpacking one. So once you unpack, then you see that earlier kits decremented by one, and constituent products has now been unpacked and added to your inventory, and you can see them within the existing feature in OpenLMIS under stock on hand. So with that, I'm sorry I took more than 15 minutes. So let's open it up for any question.
I think you were actually fine on time there, Ashraf, no worries.
Thank you.
So any questions? All right. Thank you very much, Ashraf. Thank you, JSI team. This is an interesting feature. I'm glad to see it incorporated in 3.6. All right. If there are no comments for Ashraf, I'm going to...
Just one more comment, you know, just to make sure that we give the proper credit. So Josh and Elias really worked together for the backend API work. And Alunia and Hassan and others, you know, is on the UI part of it. And then when the time came to kind of hardware those things, the front end and the back end, like all the team has really collaborated with each other. Thank you.
Thanks for highlighting that, Asha. Okay, I'm going to hand it over to Sam now for the Mind the Gap team.
Okay, so hi everyone. The Mind the Gap team for the 3.6 release had a couple of features that we worked primarily on. The first feature was the multiple suppliers feature, and that was adding the ability to configure as an administrator multiple supply partners, and then adding the ability to split requisitions for each of the suppliers. And then we also worked on the notifications feature and implementing a digest notification to reduce the number of notifications that are sent daily, and then also adding RapidPro integration to support SMS. So to give you the overview of each of the features, both Nikodim and Lukasz, I think, will be showing the feature that they worked on. Who wants to showcase this first?
I can go first.
Okay.
I hope you can see my screen.
Yes.
Okay, so as was said, in OpenMMIS 3.5, we add the ability to define supplying partners. And in current release, we use the configuration. And if configuration match the parameters, then we use them on the in the requisition service, and we split requisition into for multiple suppliers. And in this example, I have a ready to approve requisition. The split is done after the first approval. So, move on. So at this point, the requisition service should ask. Should ask about the reference data about supply partners and check if supply partner is correct for the requisition settings. And in this case, I suppose I get this view because this was my previous view, I suppose. Let me see, quickly check the February. Okay, so as you can see, the requisition has been approved. Is still in approving status, but you can see that some of products are skipped. Those products are supplied by partner and cannot be using this requisition. Okay. Now I log as a partner user. And as a partner user, I can see my partner requisition, and those requisitions contains only product that are supplied by the partner. Yeah? There is possibility to change the quantity and add some remarks, and user has ability to approve the requisition. And I think it's everything about multiple suppliers, multiple supply partner in the acquisition service. Do you have any questions? If not, that then this is everything from me.
Thanks, Lukasz. Nikodim, are you? You ready to show the notifications?
Yes, so let me share my screen. Okay, can you see it?
Yes.
Okay, so I will basically start with going to the administrator part do the notification settings part of the user profile. Here you can see, here you can see that we have added option to digest each of the notification type that is originating from the requisition. So you can basically decide whether notification of a specific type should be digested, meaning that instead of receiving X messages, we would only receive one informing that the a couple of actions are required. Same with same for the requisition approved and so on. You can see that we can schedule that we can select a cron. This one actually is using some more sophisticated cron expression to define that the digest should occur every 5 minutes, if I'm correct. But the intended use for it is actually using it in a way that allows the user to specify whether they want to receive the notification weekly or daily. The reason why the previous one was implemented, meaning that we can still enter the cron expression, is that we can still change that value using the API. So we wanted to show the users a valid cron expression if they decided to update it through the API. So by default, the screen should look something like this. So you can see that we can select whether we want to receive those messages daily or weekly. Here we need to enter the hour and the minute. If we try to enter anything out of the scope and try to update the subscription, we'll receive a notification saying that it is basically invalid. It must be something between 0 and 59. Same for the hour. What I'm trying to do, I wanted to showcase that the digest features actually work, but I probably just broke the, by removing the use digest, I probably just broke that feature for the next message. So I won't be able to showcase that at the moment. Yes, other than that, we have also added a new channel for sending the notifications, but the work on that channel is still in progress, meaning that we have most of the work done, but we still need to put it through the QA process. Yes, so, for the notification part, I believe it's basically it. In conclusion, we can decide to receive less messages as well as use a different channel for each of them. And so are there any questions?
Yeah, this is Ashraf, just a quick question. So for the SMS, you know, you mentioned that you're still in the process of kind of finalizing that. But for general understanding, what is the underlying technology or open source tool that you're using? Is it like something like Rapid Pro or Canal? Which particular tool that you have used for the transport?
Yes, so we are basically using Rapid Pro or text it, depending on the implementation. We have support for both, as they basically are two versions of the same feature, one being the provided one and the second one being open source one. And after that, we are using, I believe, Twilio at the moment. for the demoing of this feature, but yeah, we can basically configure RapidPro and text it with basically any of the available solutions like Twilio and Exmo, and you can even configure it to work with Canel.
So for, say, like, you know, it's probably for the down the road and for Josh and others to decide, but if there is a, say, like a Dockerized container for OpenLMIS and a country is interested to implement OpenLMIS, will at least one tool would be pre-configured, say like RapidPro or Canel, and included so that, you know, it's all, you know, just to provide the, you know, quick implementation experience to the country so that they don't get scared out by complex installation configuration process. Are you considering to include, you know, such thing as part of the one click, two click, or, you know, only a few click type of installation?
I'm not able to answer this question, to be honest. One thing I can say is that we are not providing support for Canel directly. It is indirectly supported by the RapidPro, because RapidPro can be configured to use it. But what OpenLMIS is doing is basically communicating with the RapidPro and leave the underlying solution for it to decide and configure.
Yeah, but, you know, when Craig was talking about the ONA implementation for the Fire server, he did mention that Fire is included in the basic, is embedded within the basic distribution in OpenLMIS. So along those lines, I was talking about for SMS.
So I could probably jump in and answer that for you, Ashraf. So the shortest answer is no, it's not included as part of OpenLMIS. It is treated as part of, as an integration. And so the Hopi Fire server, or the Fire server that we have, is treated more as like a local data cache. But the integration out to RapidPro, you know, / text it, that's treated as like a third-party integration. So you don't get it with OpenLMIS. You would have to, you know, either sign up for a text it account deploy it yourself or have it deployed already, something like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, so are there any other questions? Okay, then I will pass the ball to the next person. I'm not sure who that should be.
Okay, so that is the showcase for Team Mind the Gap.
Great, thank you very much, Sam. Thank you, Nikodem. And I'm not sure who'd be the first one that I... All right, we will pass it on now to Sebastian. I'll give one opportunity in case there's any questions or any of the work that the Mind the Gap team was sharing now. All right, I'm not hearing anything. So yeah, Sebastian, you're up.
Thanks, Wes. So today I'm happy to talk about two major pieces that Team Parrot has worked on for the 3.6. OpenLMIS release, and those two major pieces are the performance improvements and then releasing faster. As for the performance improvements, I will just quickly summarize the work that has been done and some of the performance gains that we will be seeing in 3.6. I have also created a page on Confluence, another Confluence that lists all of those tickets. So if anyone is interested in more details, you can just check it out. And the tickets that were closed in 3.6 and specific numbers are available here. Let me give a high-level overview. Of course, other than just pure tickets that were connected with improving specific endpoints or specific screens, we have also worked on tickets that indirectly supported the performance work. And those are tickets connected to like performance tests or performance data. So fixing some of those tests, adding more performance tests, adding more performance data. And they are also included in this list of completed tickets. But as for this showcase, I will just go through the tickets that introduced specific performance gains. So for the requisition initiate screen, we have removed one of the additional calls that the screen was doing to retrieve the requisition representation. So it was doing a post to initiate a requisition, and then it was retrieving the requisition that already was retrieved with the initiate call. So that additional call was removed. And if someone initiates a requisition from the UI, the time will be obviously faster. And how much faster it is will actually depend on the size of the requisition. So if it was a small requisition, the gain would be smaller. If it was a bigger requisition, it would be bigger. There is a small regression connected to requests made when user is logging in. So retrieving user details, user contact details, and user data in general. The call was made four times instead of just once. So it was also slowing down the time required for the user to log in. So the time between clicking the login button and then being redirected to the homepage. It seems that this actually was regression that happened after 3.5. So we won't be seeing improvement or performance gain as compared to 3.5. But we also won't be seeing a regression here. We have also worked on improving performance for requisitions for Convert API. So we have looked into possible improvements, and that endpoint is now two times faster. And we have made additional fixes to endpoints that are used on the requisition for Convert screen, but they are. They will be meshed later. We have also added compression to post and other requests. So up to this point, only the GET requests were compressed. And that was a problem for endpoints that return a lot of information, like post request to initiate a requisition. And this is actually an endpoint that will be showing most of the performance improvement, especially when used in on slow connections. So like in Malawi. Retrieving facility type approved products was slightly improved as well. So here are the specific performance gains. So for 1,000 approved products, it was from over a second to nearly half a second. And for 9,000 of them, it was 6.5 seconds to 4.5. We have improved the facility search as well. And the improvement measured with automated performance tests that we have was from 4 seconds to under a second. We have also improved supply retrieving and searching for supply lines. And this is actually connected to the Convert requisition to order screen, because this screen uses supply lines and retrieves them. And here we can actually see quite a huge improvement because for 1,000 supply lines, we have managed to go from 10 seconds to just half a second for retrieving, and for searching from 8 seconds to 200 milliseconds. The retrieval of the proof of delivery step in the requisition initiate step was improved as well. And so getting all the PODs was improved as well. So now it's like 1 second. This 170 seconds was actually measured, is taken from a ticket that was created like 2 years ago. So this may not be relevant for 3.5 release actually, but compared to what we have, what we had like 2 years ago. And finally, we have managed to improve the search for the processing periods. And this is also affecting the requisition initiate, because the initiate step is looking for a specific processing period. And we can see a huge improvement here as well for the performance data that we have. And with the performance test, it has improved from 15 seconds to just 20 milliseconds. So this is a high level summary of all the performance improvements that we'll be seeing. And once we get to the performance tests that we do before each release, we should be especially seeing improvements for the requisition initiate step and for converting to order. And those were the slowest parts as measured on the performance data that that we are using, and we are using the Malawi dataset for that. So that would be it about the performance work, and the other big piece was the work on releasing faster, so mainly adding more functional tests. And we have managed to complete nearly all of the functional tests that we have planned to have for the requisition service. There are just a few outstanding ones that perhaps we can still get done before the release during the code freeze phase. As for the impact that it has, during this release, we have managed to get 19 test cases, manual test cases that deal with requisitions. So they can be seen here. Other than that, there were also a few manual test cases that weren't there, but that had some of the steps removed. So they are now shorter. And also the regression testing for the requisition service should go faster now. And that would be it, other than the performance work and leasing faster. We have also worked on clearing bugs from the backlog, on clearing tech debt. So nearly all of our sprints had like 20% of bugs and 20% of tech debt added. So we have also managed to fix a big number of them as well. And that would be it for me. Are there any questions concerning anything that Team Parrot has worked on?
Yeah, this is Ashraf. So I have a question. Thanks for kind of showing the impressive performance improvement that you have been able to achieve, the team has been able to achieve. From my experience, we have faced the performance issues in almost any application that I've been involved with. So I was curious about, as you were able to, improve those performance, which are the areas that you found that you had to work on to achieve those performance improvement? Is it on the code refactoring, or kind of refactoring the queries, the SQLs, or optimizing the ORM, the object relational like mapping, or caching, or all of the above?
So the problems really depended on the API, but there are always some patterns that that are repeating. And we actually maintain a documentation page about the performance in our docs, where we are storing those performance tips. And and the problems that we are seeing most often. So for the specific things that we should be avoiding and how to fix them, there is this page and it is updated as we go. I can say that a lot of work has been done to improve the database queries that we are doing. We have been doing a lot of work on reducing the amount of data that we are retrieving from the database. So the common case is that we are retrieving like a whole representation of some instance from the database when you only need to verify whether an instance with given ID exists. So obviously like retrieving a whole requisition group with all of the facilities that are connected to this requisition group and all of the supported programs that are connected to that facility is way slower than just verifying whether an instance of the given ID exists in the database. But yeah, it really depended on each and every endpoint. What needs to be done usually is to add the necessary profiling to that endpoint so that we have a way to measure which parts of the code cause problems. So that profiling allows us to do so. We have a good pattern for that actually. So profilers are actually implemented in most of our endpoints that we currently have. And then checking how much each piece of code took is quite easy by just going to the logs of the system and getting those numbers. Once we have the numbers, we have a way to say that which part of the code is slow, and then we are just thinking how this part can be improved and or whether this part is needed at all. So I think just on a high level, that's what I can say.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I see that you also put on the screen where you captured the various things that you have learned. So that would be helpful. I would be really interested to read through it. So for the profiler, the two tools that we see on the screen, SLF4J profile and the virtual VM, are these the tool that you found? Are these the two that you found most useful?
Yeah. So the profiler that that I was mentioning is actually this. So there is that example here. And it's, yeah, just as I said, it's a matter of marking specific parts of the code. So like a profiler for checking admin rights, profiler for orderable search. And yeah, once we invoke logging, we get numbers for each of those parts. And we can say that, for example, orderable service search was slow while all of this was super fast. And then we can focus on this specific part.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Sure. Are there any other questions? Okay, so I think that's it from me.
Great, thank you very much, Sebastian. Thank you very much to the SOAP developer team for those performance increases and a lot of the backend work that was done. All right, I think that's it then for this showcase. Just a reminder that we will be starting the regression testing process tomorrow. If you have remaining issues that need to be fixed, tickets that need to be worked on, we're hoping that you can get those finished by the end of the day. And then also I want to remind the team leads that we'll be having the test process review meeting right after this. So in fact, it probably would be best if we just have each of the team leaders that's going to be part of that call stay on this call. And yeah, thank you very much. That's the end of the showcase.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.